Well, hey there, Sean.
Hey, John.
So, all of you at home have probably noticed that, you know, we've been doing a lot of stories lately about bills that passed the legislature where it seems like a veto from the governor is possible, but we don't know for sure what's gonna happen.
Yeah, and when we write about these, we'll sometimes say stuff like, Governor Tony Evers is likely to veto the plan, or Evers has not said whether he supports the plan, a bunch of stuff. And people are probably wondering, where do we come up with that insightful analysis?
So, we decided that today we're gonna lift the veil just a little bit and show everyone how we craft this carefully worded and amazingly accurate reporting.
Yeah, look, in olden times, I'll level with you, we had to rely on our brains to do this. But now, we rely on the computing power of our very own Vetometer 5000.
Oh yeah. I mean, this is one amazing piece of technology. You just plug in some basic information, stuff like how the vote went in the legislature, maybe what the governor has said about it in the past, barometric pressure, Mercury's position in your star chart, and,
The Vetometer 5000 tells you what's going to happen. Huh, looks like this bill's getting vetoed.
So, this week, we thought we'd walk you through some bills that recently passed the legislature and see what this finely tuned piece of executive authority prediction equipment has to say about them. This is the WPR Politics Podcast. I'm John K. Wilson.
And I'm Sean Johnson.
This week on the podcast, veto where no one has gone before. As you may have noticed, our very own Laurel White is off this week, which, per podcast bylaws, is one of the reasons you just heard the alternative gem, Say It Ain't So, from Weezer's 1994 self-titled debut album known to fans as the Blue Album. But a more topical reason would be that Governor Tony Evers may or may not say it ain't so to these bills while blasting the Blue Album in his gubernatorial office in the Capitol, and for some reason, Rivers Cuomo is also there.
And Tony Evers is wearing his Buddy Holly glasses as he pulls out his special veto pen. I imagine this probably happens. Yeah, he instructs the staff to get the special pen, and you know what to play, y'all. Put it on the stereo loud.
It's like making the assembly and Senate chambers like shake.
Yeah, people around the building hear this song going and they're like, oh, well, there goes that bill.
That's getting ahead of ourselves, though, because that's when we know that a bill has already been vetoed. But until that date comes, you know, we need to give our audience members some sort of context about, you know, what's going on with these bills, which is where the Vetometer 5000 comes in here.
Yeah, and I know there's some of you out there who probably think, well, look, a bill was sent to the governor by the legislature. Of course he's going to veto it, you know, that it's that simple. But it's not, okay? We can't just rest on an uninformed prediction. So we're going to tell you how we arrive at this insightful analysis through the help of this revolutionary machine.
Well, it looks like we have a list of legislation that passed recently. Do we want to just calibrate things a little bit and feed something in there, see what happens?
I think it's a good idea, yeah. I mean, there are close calls, and then there are bills that seem more likely headed to veto than others, right? So maybe we should maybe we should send one that you know, our best human brain analysis tells us is probably headed for a veto, and see what the machine does to kind of get things set off right. That makes sense?
Yep. Yep.
Okay. So how about this one this week? And I haven't heard the governor talk about this, so we have to rely on other factors. But there was this Second Amendment sanctuary bill that passed the state legislature, now passed the state Senate this week, and This would make pretty enormous changes to gun laws in Wisconsin. And I'm saying that with a little bit of a smirk, because you would think a bill that would make such big changes would be the topic of fierce debate in the Senate, but they passed it on a voice vote with no discussion and just sent it to the governor. So what would this thing do? Essentially, it says that in many cases, federal gun laws just don't apply to Wisconsin. It would say that guns made here after the bill becomes law would have to be stamped made in Wisconsin. If they're built here and they never leave here, according to the bill, they wouldn't be subject to federal regulation.
Right, because the feds regulate interstate commerce. And if the guns are made and stay in Wisconsin, theoretically, the feds have no oversight over that, is the thinking?
I think so. So then they say certain types, this bill says certain types of federal gun laws would be unenforceable. That includes any federal act, law, statute, rule, regulation, treaty, or order that bans or restricts semi-automatic firearms or assault weapons. The federal government would be banned from prohibiting certain types of bullets, ban the federal government from requiring the registration of firearms. Here's something you don't see every day. This bill includes its own legal defense, you know, knowing that it's going to probably end up in court. It includes instructions that says that the legislature is using its authority under the 2nd, 9th, and 10th Amendments to the U.S. Constitution and Article 1, Section 25 of the Wisconsin Constitution. The Wisconsin Constitution asserts the right to bear arms. The 9th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution affirms rights not specifically enumerated in the U.S. Constitution. The 10th Amendment references states' rights. And then the 2nd Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, right to bear arms. So, sounds pretty expansive, right? A little bit expansive.
A little bit expansive.
So here's the thing. I haven't heard the governor comment on this. I sent his staff a request for comment. They didn't comment on it. So we don't have the governor saying he'll veto this plan. Do we want to run it through the vetometer 5000?
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say that doesn't stop us from using this high-tech, amazing piece of machinery. So I think we should just run this bad boy through there.
Yeah, give it a go. Here is the suggested language from the Vetometer 5000. Evers has regularly pushed for tougher gun laws and is likely to veto the plan. Which is what that's what I included in my story. You know, you don't mess with perfection there. Like that is finely tuned machine. And who could argue with that statement? Because he has pushed for like more restrictions on firearms. I don't recall the governor pushing to ignore all federal firearm regulation. And so this is what we ended up with.
All right. Well, it seems like the Vetometer 5000 is working at peak performance here.
Okay, good.
You got this thing dialed in.
Yeah. Let's give it some more, some more that where we know that it's really humming here. Okay. Before we give it more difficult proposals. How about, what do you think about this election package that passed the legislature?
Well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, we've talked about this on the podcast some. But I think, you know, if we want to just run through this real quick and see what the old vetometer has to say.
Yeah. So I don't know if there's a limit on the number of bills we can feed through the vetometer at once.
Like, is it like a paper like shredder where like it's too thick and it won't go through? Yeah.
You'll get a like a PC load letter error or something. No.
I don't know. We can always try.
We'll give it a try.
I think we can handle it.
Okay, so here's the thing about this show is we're talking about vetoes on a Friday. And some of these may be vetoed by the time the show is released. So bear with us. There are a lot of election-related bills that have passed the legislature. And so we'll go through some that passed this past week. There's one that would require people to include a photo ID every time they ask for an absentee ballot. They'd have to ask for them every year instead of once for every election cycle. This is, you know, a aimed at people who said they were indefinitely confined in the last election. A bill that would effectively eliminate future events like Madison's Democracy in the Park, where the city collected ballots that were completed absentee ballots ahead of the election from people who were concerned that they would potentially not get there in time because of delays at the U.S. Post Office. There's a bill that would require nursing homes to notify the family of residents in advance of visits from voting assistants, make it a felony for nursing home staff to attempt to influence the way that residents vote. You got penalties for voter fraud. There's a whole lot in there, right?
Yeah. And again, if this is the first time you're ever hearing about any of these election bills, there's a podcast we did about this several weeks ago. I don't remember. What is time? But in general, the context is that this is a whole big package of election-related bills essentially sparked by the 2020 election and the false claims by President Donald Trump that the election was stolen and response from Republican lawmakers here in Wisconsin and across the country about, they say, making elections more resistant to potential fraud and what opponents argue is making it more difficult for folks to vote.
So should we feed this one through the vitometer?
Yes, I think we should.
Okay, let's see what it spit out here. The package of bills which Evers has hinted he is likely to veto. Okay, that works. We're safe there, right?
Wasn't there something in there related to he has generally said he disfavors bills that make it more difficult to vote or something?
Yes.
I feel like that's language we've pulled from the vitometer at some point.
Yeah, for sure. And so there is a possibility. I mean, obviously, this is multiple bills. The governor could veto some, not veto others. But what we have to go by right now is that I've never heard him speak highly of any of these proposals, and it would be unusual for a Democratic governor to come out in favor of them, given the debate we see in the country, right?
Right, and because these bills also passed entirely on party line votes,
that is a factor. But we're gonna have to plug that one in to later bills, and I don't. It's it doesn't always work. That's why we need the vitometer. Because obviously we couldn't on our own come up with analysis that says that the governor is likely to veto these bills.
God, that would be miserable. I don't know how we do that.
I can't even handle it. Okay, let's move on to some tougher stuff, okay?
All right, yeah, let's see what this baby can do.
Okay, this one's a little tricky, John. There's this bill that passed the assembly this week that would set aside $50 million in federal money. This is like federal stimulus money as part of the stimulus bill that was passed this year to set up a loan to help Consolidated Cooperative purchase the Verso paper mill, and then another $15 million to fund the Park Falls paper mill. And there's interesting factors here. It passed.
I'll say.
Yeah. John is on the edge of his seat, obviously. It passed the assembly on a bipartisan vote. Not a big bipartisan vote, but it passed 63-35, which means a few Democrats voted for it. The governor has come out in support of providing money to purchase the Verso paper mill and the Park Falls paper mill. But the source of money has caused him concern. The governor wanted to use savings that the state got from accepting the federal Medicaid expansion to do this. Republicans said no to that. He's talking about using potentially state funds to do it. Republicans said no to that. Let's run it through the Vitometer 5000 and see what it has to say.
All right. Let's get that in there.
All It's unclear whether Evers supports the plan. I don't know, man. Super hedge job there by the Vitometer 5000. I feel like we paid good money for this thing. We should get better predictions.
It's complicated.
Complicating factors here. Here's
the governor wants to do the thing. He just wants to say how the thing is done, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Here's something that makes it look like it might be headed for a veto. Maybe we should have fed this through the Vitometer first. But the governor, after this passed, he put out a press release. And here's the subject line of the press release. Governor Evers expresses disappointment after Assembly fails to adopt bipartisan amendment supporting Verso Park Falls paper mills. Subhead, failure to adopt amendment proposed by bipartisan coalition jeopardizes federal funds, paper mill support. Okay, that sounds kind of like he wants to veto it, doesn't it? I mean,
a little bit.
Like when a governor puts out a press release just for this thing and says that, it sounds like he might veto this thing that he wants to do. But we'll see. He didn't say for sure.
Which, in the Vitometer's defense, makes it seem unclear whether the governor will veto it or not.
Yes. I mean, I think we'll be interested in whatever he does in this one, because we're not quite sure.
All right. Well, what do we got next, then? If we want to put this machine to its paces, show everybody how awesome it is.
How about this bill on local redistricting?
Ooh, yeah. This is a complex one.
Yeah, this one's a little tricky because, one, I'm not sure that people know that local redistricting is a thing that happens.
Honestly, until a few weeks ago, I did not.
Okay, so we all know that like redistricting is the process by which government redraws its political boundaries every 10 years to reflect population changes that have been measured by the U.S. Census.
So everybody knows, yes.
Everybody knows. I mean, you're probably thinking about it like on a daily basis. And we're going to talk a lot about this year. We're going to talk a lot about how the state redraws legislative district lines and congressional district lines. But there is also this matter of redrawing local district lines. And this has been delayed, as has the state process and the congressional process, been delayed by delays in the U.S. Census. So U.S.
Right. And just to butt in real quick, I'm not sure if we actually got this, but these local lines are for things like, you know, alders and such, or, you know, county officials.
County board.
Sort of
yeah.
Thing.
Yes. Right. Your local officials, they are in these boundaries. And so that's how they're drawn.
So if you ever wonder where your, you know, city council person got his or her district, this is where it comes from.
Yeah, there you go. That's good. So they are behind in doing this because there's been a delay in the U.S. Census. So normally you'd have U.S. Census data, detailed data out in March to begin the redistricting process at the local level and the state level. That data is not going to be out until August. So everybody's behind. And in the case of counties, they face this upcoming deadline of July 1st, where they're supposed to have their first draft of, a county redistricting plan. And then once the county does that, then municipalities can do their initial draft. And then the counties can come back and do like their final draft, and the municipalities can come back and do their final draft. And they have like 60 days in between each of those processes. So they're supposed to start that on July 1. And they can't. So They have come up with this legislation that says, okay, instead of July 1, how about February 22nd of 2022? And we don't hold elections on the new districts until 2023. Got all that?
I got it. Including I just noticed that it would be 2/22/2022.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah. That's some nice, like, quasi-symmetry there.
I was looking at the calendar, I gotta say, and I'm not quite sure why February 22nd was chosen. I suppose maybe to put it after the usual February primary? I don't know. That's like my best guess. Anyway, you're talking about a more than 8 month delay for doing this process. So let me just restate. Counties have to do something. We have to do something for local governments. But the question is whether this is the thing. And so I think if you didn't have history on redistricting in Wisconsin, where Republicans had drawn an extremely Republican map in private in 2011, maybe this bill would be viewed differently. But because of that,
if you didn't know, legislative districts in Wisconsin are a very, very controversial topic.
They are slightly controversial.
There's some history there.
So this bill came from the County Association and Speaker Voss's office. And so Democrats are, it came out like on a Friday, there's a public hearing on a Monday, and Democrats are a little bit on edge about this. Like, okay, hold on. Do we need that long? And so they are concerned that by delaying this until February of 2022, it's going to kind of set a precedent where Republicans will then try to delay the redrawing of the next legislative map. Also saying, look, we did it for counties. Nothing we could do. The census tied our hands. We got to delay this legislative map too, because we just don't have time to meet these deadlines. And then that extends the Republican drawn legislative map another 2 years if that were to happen.
Right. And then what happens 2 years from now? Well, no, less than 2 years.
I mean, they got to redraw it eventually. They have to, because as soon as the population numbers come out, the current map's going to be effectively unconstitutional because, you're going to have unequal population among the districts. So it is going to have to be redrawn. But in 2 years, you could.
No, that's what I meant, though, is there's something else that's going to happen between now and then.
The election. That maybe is what you're getting
that's,
at.
That's what I was getting at.
An election
at,
for
yeah.
governor where Republicans can try to get a governor who's not Tony Evers and might view their legislative map differently. Right?
Right.
Yeah. And then, the thing about that, I think we're going to have to order like a Vitometer 6000 or something at that point. Or like we got to totally recalibrate it if there were a Republican governor. But we'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
Yeah, I'm not sure if there's going to be like a firmware update that they send through to us
that might
for that
be it.
Or what,
that's
what the
true.
Deal is.
Yeah, those are tricky though. You got to like make sure that your machine is charged before you apply it.
Yeah, definitely.
Anyway, so
it's a great piece of technology, but it can be a little finicky too. I got to tell you, if you're thinking about purchasing one for your political journalism, it's the best in the market, but still, there are some things that could be better.
Yeah, for sure. Like a nice yes or no would be good on these answers. Okay.
Well, failing that, do we want to feed this nuanced local district bill into the machine and see what it has to say here?
Yeah, and just to review, you have this bill for a thing that has to be done, but the details are so dry, it like gives you a splitting headache. Coupled with like the prospect of what might happen with another bill for another kind of redistricting. Okay, let's feed that through the machine, John.
Yeah, just stick that in there.
Okay, here's the language. Oh, there's a lot of words for this one. Evers has not said whether he will sign or veto the plan, but when it was heard in committee, a spokesperson for the governor said, quote, bills making it harder for people to cast their ballots or to have fair maps in Wisconsin are likely going to be non-starters for him. Okay. That's not a yes. But it's,
so the Vitometer basically just quoting a governor spokesperson there.
Like, we could have done that, Vitometer.
It's somehow in the email list for press statements from the governor's office.
Yes.
Gets it in its own personal
inbox.
It's
just like firing off spam every time there's a bill passed. Just like sends an email to the governor's spokesperson asking for a comment, which is basically what reporters are. We're just spamming spokespeople. Okay. Well, I'm not feeling too confident about this last one here after the last two answers we got. Plus that, I don't know. It seems like the vitometer is getting a little warm here.
Like, it does have that sort of burning electronics smell going
maybe
on.
We have exceeded its computational power here, maybe. But should we just do this anyway? Let's give it the whole state budget.
Yeah, let's do it, man. Let's do it.
Yeah. So let's review some factors in the state budget, shall we? And I know we've talked about this in the past. But here, you know, just speaking for myself and why I need a computer to help me with this, I go through this process every 2 years where I tell myself at the beginning of the budget process, governors don't veto entire budgets. Don't fall into that, like, the budget might get vetoed trap. It doesn't happen.
Don't do it, man.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
And then, like, I see a shiny object and I'm like, oh, what is it? Oh my gosh, the governor might veto the whole budget. You know, I do those stories every 2 years. And I'm coming back around to like, well, I don't know, maybe not. So here's factors that might lead to a governor vetoing the entire budget. One, it is way different than the budget he sent them. You know, their first vote on this budget was to remove 383 items from the budget that the governor introduced. And a lot of these were policy, you know, what you'd call policy specific ideas that could be standalone bills, you know, like automatic voter registration, not really a budget thing, but it's put in the budget. There's stuff like that, but there's also monetary proposals in there, you know, mm-hmm. The Medicaid expansion,
quite a few.
Yeah. The Medicaid expansion pulled out. I mean, that's something that the governor really wants. It's something that's definitely related to the budget and that's gone. And then you move, you know, flash forward to what they did with his school budget. And what they passed is a lot different than what the governor wanted. I mean, he wanted a substantial increase in state funding for schools, coupled with increases in the per pupil revenue limits, you know, the amount that you could increase spending on students at the local level. And what Republicans essentially did is they did end up putting more state funding into the budget, but they did it in a way that state funding could only really be used to lower property taxes and not be, you know, not be spent in the classroom. And their argument is, look, schools are getting all this federal funding, record federal funding. We as a state don't need to step in here.
Right. So. And also, we need to do this property tax school funding switcheroo thing that you would have known if you were here last week that Laurel and I talked about this. But we got to do this switcheroo to be able to qualify for the federal funding while still not actually giving more money to the classroom because we're going to get this federal money that Republicans think should be used for schools.
So you've programmed all that
in a nutshell.
Yeah. That's all into the vitometer here. What are some other factors? Other factors? How about this? Republicans are including a massive tax cut in their version of the budget, including the largest chunk of which would be applied to an income tax cut for a broad range of incomes in Wisconsin. And while this would cut taxes for a lot of people by the same percentage, just on a dollar amount, you know, it would be weighted toward people who make six figures. They would get a larger chunk of the money. So that's another kind of complicating factor. And then, you know, you throw in one more factor. And that is that the governor has among the most powerful partial veto pens in the nation and can use it to kind of restructure the budget as he wants. I mean, we could keep going, but do we just want to see what happens here?
Yeah, no, I'm game. I'm ready.
Okay, let's see what language the vitometer spit out here. See, it's a left, left, right, right, up, up, down, down, A, B, start. That's that's the Konami code, actually. We gotta get this thing. We gotta take it in. I mean, it's not even helpful anymore. Like, I'm not putting that in my story.
Why did we pay for this thing?
I don't know. It's not really useful.
Did I say this was a state-of-the-art technology? Because this is a piece of junk.
Well, I like it when it spits out words that I can just copy and paste into my stories. But when that doesn't work, I'm not a fan. I think there's... I mean, we'll be talking for quite a while now about whether the governor is going to sign or veto this budget. One other factor we didn't plug into the vitometer, which would have just confused it further, is that I have a feeling that every Democrat in the legislature is going to vote against this budget. It feels that way. Don't you get that impression?
Yeah, no, I think that's not a stretch.
But that happened last time too. I mean, Democrats all voted against the budget and the governor signed it. And he said at the time, it's not what I wanted, but like, look what I did. I funded roads. I brought school funding up. You know, I took the state my direction, and he celebrated that budget as a victory. So, I don't think that the way that it goes through the legislature next week, by the way, it's tentatively slated to pass the assembly on Tuesday and the Senate on Wednesday, I think. I don't think you can look at the final votes there as a sign of what the governor is going to do necessarily, because he really faces a different calculus than individual lawmakers do when it comes to this stuff, especially with his
right.
own
Plus,
re-election.
Like, you can't attach the Legitron Platinum to the Vitometer 5000 to get those two to interface necessarily.
The Legitron. That's good. That one is pretty good though. Like I plugged in the budget and it says like no Democrats are going to vote for this, and seems plausible.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's solid.
Yeah, yeah. But so do we want to make a prediction on how what the governor's going to do with the budget? Does that seem like a good use of our journalistic reputation?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good idea. It remains to be seen whether the governor will veto the budget.
Nailed it.
However, Evers possesses some of the broadest partial veto powers in the country and could rework the plan more to his liking.
Also nailed it.
I'm leaving the question mark at the end of that sentence too. So, all right. Anything else that we need to run through this thing? I mean, it's basically just... trash.
Dude,
now.
It's on fire, literally. We can't use it anymore.
Too many vetoes. That's the problem. We relied on this too much.
You need to take this sucker to the shop.
Yeah. All right.
Well, Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief.
And John K. Wilson is our resident politics nerd.
You might be asking yourself, how can I get my hands on one of those Vitometer 5000s? Well, let me tell you, unfortunately, they are proprietary and very expensive. But if you're looking to use technology in a really cool way for free, well, get on your device and subscribe to get new episodes of the WPR Politics Podcast delivered to you almost every single week. You can find it on Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, and many other podcast apps. While you're there, leave a rating or review of the show to help other people find it. And of course, you can catch up on our past episodes anytime at wpr.org/politicspodcast. Yeah, yeah, yeah.